Okay, the April 28th, 2014 meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments will come to order. Roll call, please.
Miller.
Here.
McGill.
Here.
Steelmeyer. Scarlett.
Here.
Okay, you all have been provided with a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Are there any changes or additions to that? Okay, then all in favor of approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting, signify by saying aye.
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 You were also provided in your packets with draft minutes from, I believe, the February 5th, 2014 meeting. Do we have any corrections, additions, or changes? Okay. Well, then if there are no corrections, the minutes for the February 5th meeting will stand approved as submitted.
April 2nd.
Did I put the wrong ones up? April 2nd? You are correct. Okay, I'd like to, for the audience, people who are here this evening, in case you haven't been to one of these meetings before, to review the hearing process so that you can be familiar with how the Board of Adjustment acts. First of all, we'll have the planning staff will present their staff report to the board. We will hear whether there are any letters or other communications been received by the public prior to the meeting, and those will be entered into record. We will then have the applicant present their case. We will then allow for comments from the public. If you're speaking, you need to approach the lectern and state your name for the record. We will work to have all interested parties heard. If there are too many people who want to come up, we may limit the time as we go, so I may be asking how many people would anticipate that they'd like to speak this evening. We would ask the people up there, if we do get into the same thing, to not be repetitious. If a point's been made and you agree, you can just say, I agree with that point, and not just get repetitious, and we want to keep things moving. After all the public comments have been heard, we will give the applicant a chance to make a closing statement. After that closing statement, the hearing will be closed and no further comment will be received from the public unless you are specifically addressed by the board, and if so, we would again ask you to come up to the podium as we go. We will then deliberate the case, formulate and vote on a resolution this evening, so whatever happens is resolved by the end. Has everyone signed in the book over here? If you haven't, I'd ask you to go ahead and please get that done. So we will start then this evening. I went through the. We need to ask first if you have any public comments that are not about the cases this evening, someone that would like to address the board for any reason. Okay. We have any old business this evening? Not aware of any. No table business at this point in time, so then we will move on to our new business. And the first item this evening is CUP 03-14, Black Adaptive Reuse Conditional Use Permit.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Again, this is regarding case CUP 03-14, also known as Black's Granddaddy's and Event Center Conditional Use Permit Request for property owners of Black Enterprises of a property located in Section 2 of Indian Creek Township. Washington Township, of an area of 19.18 acres, zoned A1. It's currently classified as agricultural and contains many buildings for farming operation. The property is also used by Chandis Technologies for yard waste disposal and Black's Heritage Farm, a retail and novelty farm. Both uses are allowed through conditional use permits. Which you may recall having reviewed in years past. The property is located just south of the city of Ames. You can see here surrounding property owner map that was mailed to all surrounding property owners within a quarter mile of the subject property, which is there highlighted in red, and all the surrounding property owners that were notified are highlighted in blue. And there you can see South 530th Avenue. If you take that straight north, eventually you'll run into City of Ames and Highway 30 there. The request is for a conditional use permit to allow for what they're calling Granddaddy's Roadhouse. This establishment would utilize an existing building on the property to provide live music entertainment three nights a week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, from March to November to start. The hours of operation proposed would be from 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. They would provide cups of non-alcoholic drinks and mixtures and ice and would allow patrons to bring their own bottle of liquor. They would also have concessions available to serve food, presumably prepared off-site, as no commercial kitchen is proposed at this time. According to promotional materials, they would also hold raffles and prize giveaways. Age restrictions, if any, have not been provided with the application materials. The building proposed is approximately 7,400 square feet, and according to the applicant, has a capacity of approximately 800 persons. In unincorporated areas of the county, such uses are not required to obtain a max occupancy rating from the State Fire Marshal's Office. According to the applicant, this building has no running water, with restrooms being proposed to be provided by portable toilets. This request falls under the conditional use permit for adaptive reuse of abandoned schools, churches, or other institutional, commercial, or industrial buildings where a proposed use or proposed combination of two or more principal uses on one lot within one building is not otherwise permitted. Here you can see a picture of the building that they propose to use for the event center, and there you can see an aerial photo of the property, and the building there is highlighted in blue. The business will be owned and operated by Dan and Shelley Havhab, who entered into a lease agreement on November 11, 2013 with the property owner. A copy of the lease agreement is attached to the end of the report. In addition to Granddaddy's, the Blacks would also like to use the building to host events such as family gatherings, reunions, birthday parties, weddings, and corporate functions. Details on the hours of operation for these events were not provided in the application materials. Looking at the standards of approval that we look at for all conditional use permit requests, the first one we look at is compatibility, that the proposed buildings or use shall be constructed, arranged, or operated so as to be compatible with the character of the zoning district and immediate vicinity and not interfere with the development and use of adjacent property in accordance with the applicable district regulations. The proposed development shall not be unsightly, obnoxious, nor offensive in appearance to abutting or nearby properties. The property is surrounded by agricultural land owned by Iowa State University. The nearest dwelling is located 1/2 mile north of the proposed site along 530th Avenue. The use will be located inside an existing concrete building, although it is unclear how much the building will muffle the sound of a live rock and or country band and cheering crowd. The hours of operation proposed for use such as this is something the county has not seen in the A1 zoning district before. While the building may hold sounds in, crowds will be outside to use the restroom, and traffic will be coming and going throughout the evening and early morning. That may add to potential issues with this criterion. The second one is transition, that the development shall provide for a suitable transition and, if necessary, buffer between proposed buildings or use and surrounding properties. Staff noted that some transition is created by the distance of the facilities and surrounding properties. The structure is located approximately 250 feet from the nearest property line, and the property is surrounded by ag fencing. The applicant has proposed plantings along the north side of the property and perhaps the front, but has not proposed plantings to the west or to the south. Third one is traffic, that the development shall provide for adequate ingress and egress, with particular attention to vehicular and pedestrian safety and convenience, traffic flow and control, and emergency access. Staff noted that there are 3 points of ingress and egress located on the property that provide direct access to the proposed site. The applicant has not presented details regarding how traffic flow will be handled on evenings with a large turnout. It is the understanding of staff that the CUC for Cannabis Technologies required traffic control on 5:30 during their free drop-off days due to heavy traffic. This is likely due to how the traffic flowed through the site to drop off their yard waste rather than parking on site as is proposed with this use. The building proposed for this use has a capacity of 800 persons. If there are evenings in which there is a sellout crowd, congestion on 530th may be an issue unless there are plans in place to direct incoming traffic into the parking space in an efficient manner. Now, parking and loading. The development shall provide all off-street parking and loading areas as required by this ordinance and adequate service entrances and areas. Appropriate screening shall be provided around said parking and service areas to minimize visual impacts, glare from headlights, noise, fumes, or other detrimental impacts. Staff noted that the site plan provided by the applicant shows three areas for parking totaling approximately 3 acres with parking drives laid out in an orderly fashion. The site plan does not show how individual parking spaces or locations for ADA accessible spaces as required by our ordinance. Details regarding how those parking spaces will be marked and driving lanes constructed have not been provided. The number of potential vehicles parking on site on a regular basis may create drivability issues after a heavy rain if the parking areas remain in their current deposit of grass, dirt, and loose gravel. Signs and lighting. That permitted signage shall be in accordance with the applicable district regulations and shall be compatible with the immediate vicinity. Exterior lighting, if provided, shall be with consideration given to glare, traffic safety, and compatibility with the properties in the immediate vicinity. No permanent signage as was proposed at the time of the staff report was drafted. In conversations with the applicant, temporary signage will be used to promote Granddaddy's and the band lineup each week. Our ordinance does not allow for portable signs in the A1 zoning district unless they are less than 6 square feet in area and under 4 feet in height. And there currently is a sign on the property that is advertising Granddaddy's, which does not meet this exception and does not have a permit. We attach a picture of that sign to the staff report. And noted at that time that this sign will need to obtain a permit and be in conformance with the regulations in order to be allowed. We have been working with the applicant on this issue to ameliorate any sort of concern with that non-permitted sign. No additional lighting is proposed, and it is unclear what lighting is currently present on site. Given that the majority of the operation will take place at night, a lack of appropriate sighting may be both a safety and security concern. Then we look at environmental protection. The development shall be planned and operated in such a manner that will safeguard environmental and visual resources. The development shall not generate excessive noise, vibration, dust, smoke, fumes, odor, glare, ground pollution, or other undesirable hazardous or nuisance conditions, including weeds. Staff noted that in addition to the potential noise issues as discussed above, portable toilets may become an issue if there are too few portable toilets and or if they are not adequately maintained. According to the applicant, they have a Recycle Stay Green program on the farm they intend to extend to this business. If the Board of Adjustment concludes that all the development criteria will be met by the development, it shall approve the application unless it concludes, based on the information submitted with the official application materials and at the hearing, that if completed as proposed, there is a strong probability that the development will, one, not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property, or impair an adequate supply, including quality of light and air to surrounding property, or unduly increase congestions in the roads or hazards from fire, flood, or similar dangers, or diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property, or not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the ordinance or the Story County Development Plan. Staff's comments regarding that noted that the statement of intent for the A1 zoning district is intended to and designed to accommodate land uses compatible with agriculture and to protect agricultural land from encroachment of urban land uses. Additionally, the property is designated as Rural Service and Agricultural Conservation of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, which has a goal to maintain the rural character of the countryside. Given the nature of the proposed operation and the hours of operation, staff is not certain that the proposal is in accordance with the above principles of the land development regulations or the county development plan. While the board reviews conditional use permits on a case-by-case basis, it may also be important to call attention to the cumulative effect of all the uses currently allowed on the property and all the uses proposed. While there is little conflict between the uses based on their hours of operation, their uses combined together place extra burden on county roads and further takes away from the rural character of the area becoming more commercial in its nature. The burden of persuasion as to whether the development, if completed as proposed, will comply with the requirements of this chapter is at all times on the applicant. The burden of presenting evidence to the Board of Adjustment sufficient enough for it to conclude that the application does not comply with the requirements of this chapter is upon the person or persons recommending such a conclusion unless the information presented by the applicant warrants such a conclusion. Notification letters concerning property owner mailings were mailed within Code of Iowa guidelines. We did receive some county staff comments from the interagency review circulation. First one was from Jessica Reynolds, the first assistant to the Torrey County Attorney. She noted that I've attached applicable materials from the Iowa Alcoholic Beverage Division for your review, but there's no state licensure requirement for an establishment that allows people to bring their own beer or wine onto their premises. The establishment can even charge a corking fee with no license. However, hard alcohol is not allowed to be brought onto any premises, licensed or not. She also noted that the State Department and Inspections and Appeals regulates raffle drawings and licensure. Any such drawings at Granddaddy's would be subject to approval by the Department of Inspections and Appeals and appropriate state licensure requirements. And then Margaret James, the Torrey County Sanitarian, noted, as per applicant, there is no running water for this facility. Portable toilets and hand washing stations will be provided. If interior plumbing is added, it will be necessary to install a septic system. On April 7th, the Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed case CUP-0413 and recommended denial of the conditional use permit request. With that, I leave you with the following four alternatives, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Question about one area of the land development regs that I am not familiar with, but I believe that you stated early on that the fire marshal does not have to be involved because it's in an unincorporated area. Is that an exclusion that's specifically in
there? That's a Code of Iowa exclusion.
For unincorporated areas, regardless of whether they're a public gathering place or not?
Yeah, I think it's exclusive to for an entity that doesn't have a building code, such as Story County. It's only extended to public buildings and something, a few other things that I can't quite recall, but I looked into that in my analysis. But it's not a part of our ordinance.
Well, it's not part of the county, that's part of the state.
Yep.
We talk about parking. Obviously, there's not a parking plan. For some businesses and other items like that, you've got minimum parking. Is there any minimum parking stall criteria that's involved with this?
Yeah, maximum parking requirements. So, you know, part of what we look at with these applications is the number of parking spaces that they're proposing to ensure that the use doesn't extend beyond that requirement.
So, for a place that could say, as they said in here, 800, what would that max be?
In this case, it's based off, and I don't have my regulations with me, I apologize. In this case, it's based on the type of the use and then the building, gross square foot area. Perhaps I can answer any other questions while I look this up. All right.
That's about the only other question I have, at least at this juncture. The other members board, you have something for Ryan?
No. Pretty clear as far as I can see for me.
And I have those, we can go through those as well, but those are the ones that staff drafted up for the planning zoning.
I mean, I understand that they denied the request, but are these consistent with their comments? Was there anything added?
They didn't add any because they moved to deny the request.
Okay, great.
Do you have any other letters or anything?
We received a letter from Iowa State University of Science and Technology today. I believe Kristen forwarded that on to you for your review.
How many different landowners were in the notification area? Was it primarily Iowa State?
It's primarily Iowa State.
This falls within the fringe plan of Ames. Does the city of Ames need approval on this thing?
Not for conditional use permits. They would only review
subdivisions
and rezonings.
Okay.
Not have any comment. We do let them know when there's anything going on in their 2-mile jurisdiction. We didn't receive any comments from them.
Okay.
Ready to move on to the applicant?
Yep. Looking at these, it's one space for every 300 square feet.
One space for every 300? Okay, who is going to speak for the applicant this evening?
Good evening. My name is Michael Keener, here on behalf of Granddaddy's, to address some of the issues with regard to this conditional use permit. I will be speaking, and Noreen Black will have a few remarks on behalf of her role as the owner of one of the owners of the Black Farm, where this event center is located. Now, before we get started in the regulations that were presented, I think it's important to talk about kind of the elephant in the room that everybody's wondering about and what exactly is this event center. And I think it's important to look at, first of all, what it isn't. We're not looking at a bar that's going to be selling alcohol. Earlier in the report that was presented with the staff comments, I think there may have been a miscommunication. This is not a venue that's going to be hosting events with hard liquor to the public. That is not something that they're looking to do. Pursuant to the Iowa code, I believe that would require a license, which they are not seeking, as it's not needed. However, if there are private parties, say, should a group or a family want to rent out the facility that's closed to the public, then that would be allowable under the Iowa code. But what we have here is a fifth-generation farm that's kind of transitioning and trying to stay relevant within Story County. And you'll hear from Noreen after I've had a chance to speak, but as we know, there have already been 2 conditional use permits granted for this property, some of which questions that were raised in the initial application were answered for the other facilities on the same exact property. what we're trying to do here is we have this barn that's been here for 100 years. We're trying to transition and make it, give it a more modern use to keep it relevant and useful to the people in Story County. And what the owners have come up with is a very unique idea. There's nothing like it in the state of Iowa. And that they've kind of, they look to transform this old barn into, you know, the old-time Grand Ole Opry kind of atmosphere where bands can come in and perform for the folks in Story County. They can come in on a Friday night. There's overnight parking. They can come in, enjoy the show, leave if they would like to, stay if they would like to, stay and go to church in the morning and have breakfast. This is something not just a concert venue. This is a weekend getaway here in Story County. And they've also had discussions with RFPTV, which what they do is they will stream live performances on the television network, or this television, RFPD television network, where people all over the country are able to watch, you know, what's going on in Story County and share in this authentic experience. You can't really get anywhere. You can't get it in Des Moines. You can't get it in Ames. You can't get it anywhere. And I know the first time around that there were some concerns about this siphoning off business from places in Ames or the surrounding communities. I guess we just don't see it that way. We see it as a way to increase, you know, a lot of the traffic through these small towns that might not see the amount of people coming from Des Moines or coming from any of the surrounding communities in Des Moines or north, as far north as, you know, Hampton, where I grew up. So I'm very familiar with, you know, the type of folks that would love to have something new and different to do on a weekend. Now, in the packet that was provided, there are a number of support letters from folks at Iowa State, support letters from community business people, support letters from musicians who would, you know, like to come perform in a place like this. You know, musicians with websites, musicians with Twitter feeds that are getting, you know, the word out about this facility and able to say, hey, we played at Granddaddy's Live in Story County back in Iowa, and it was a great experience, and it's unlike anything, you know, that we've been able to do, and we've got one of them even here tonight from the Nashvilleys. So I encourage you to take a look at, you know, just the broad base of support that's already in place for this facility. Now, I'd like to, I guess, there were 9 separate conditions for approval that I'm happy to address one by one. First, with regard to the parking plan, we've gone back and submitted a parking plan pursuant to the request of the board. It has the spaces numbered and labeled. As you'll see, there are 3 separate parking areas, which comply with the 300 square foot requirement that was just discussed. This was an amended parking plan to comply with the request of the board. In terms of the Iowa Alcoholic Beverage Division, regarding the letter that says that no license is required, I think this was touched on earlier. I've spoken with the ABD. I spoke with them today. They don't necessarily do letters saying that a permit is not needed. They did cite the Iowa Code, which was also mentioned by the county attorney, 123.95. Happy to provide extra copies, but essentially it contains an exception for beer and wine in any establishment such as this that is not selling and not selling or serving to patrons. Rather, the patrons are bringing it in themselves. With regard to the hours, Now, this is something I know that that came up in the last meeting, and I did again confer with the ABD and looked at the code. And unless there is some city ordinance that I am not aware of, I don't know if there's anything limiting the hours of operation when there's no alcohol or food being sold.
Is if it is, it's a condition of your permit.
It is. For this, is that?
We make it a condition. You can either accept that condition or you can withdraw your application.
I mean, from the board. I just, okay. The Granddaddy's has no plans to hold raffles. And as far as the signage is concerned, the sign that was mentioned earlier has been taken down. Granddaddy's has been working with the board to make sure that they get one that complies. And I believe the sign is currently there. It's up to, excuse me.
3x6.
Okay, the sign is.
But it's down.
Okay, so the temporary sign has been removed. They're working to with the staff to make sure they get that taken care of. The lighting plan has been approved. There is there should be verification from Align Energy as well as the state in there to show that that's been taken care of. There are no plans to have vehicles parked in a right of way. I just note our updated parking plan that shows that there will be no vehicles parked in the right of way. And of course, Granddaddy's is more than willing to let the conditional use permit be reviewed by the board in 6 months. In addition to all these changes to comply with the earlier decision, Granddaddy's has contracted or just taken in bids from different security companies to help with parking and also help with the events that they hope to start hosting very soon.
That was really loud. Dave, could we have him repeat his name? I didn't catch it, and I can't. It's not legible in the book.
At the beginning? Did you repeat your name?
Sorry, I didn't catch it.
Michael Keener, last name is K-U-E-H-N-E-R. And we have an updated floor plan. I don't know if this got into the packet that you received, but showing the total area of 7,900 square feet. I'm happy to provide that right now if you'd like.
I don't know if that's...
Oh, okay. Yeah, and so the capacity pursuant to the formula would be 470 feet at 15 square feet per person.
Okay. Are you done now?
Yeah, I can take any questions. I know Noreen would like to...
get a chance when we get to the redirect as we go down through that.
Sure.
I think we just assumed, Noreen, are you... Would you go to the podium?
Hi, I'm Noreen Black, landowner for the proposed conditional permit. I don't know if you folks received any of the information that was in these packets that we gave to staff. It's described in there, our tourist farm, what we have had in the past.
We do have that.
Pardon?
We do have that.
Okay. Just checking, making sure. As you can see by our revised plan to park people, I know that that's been a genuine concern for all of us. So we have made some changes, as you can see, compared to the old map that we had. Because indeed, when you own a unit like this, you want to be able to park and maneuver and get through the drive areas, as well as security and safety, one of the concerns that we had addressed earlier. Campers that come in these motorhomes or a tent or any type of facility, or use any type of facility like that, are very accustomed to using porta potties, hand washing areas. Our tourist farm, we run hundreds of people through our tourist farm every year, and they are, when they come to our festivals or our events, they all can use the porta potties. I don't know if any of you folks have been to our farm in the past, but porta potties have come a long way. They have a lot to offer. Some of them have hot water, and the washing facilities inside of some of them have come a long, long ways. So we're hoping to disarm anyone that's worried about getting E. coli or any type of thing like that from the farm, because we do know, in our case, the kids do pet the animals and touch them, and then they do need to wash their hands and utilize a clean facility, which the Kingstone has promised us and has given us in the past, very adequate facilities for us to put our patrons through. They even have handicap now, which is really cool. They have a brighter one, if anybody's ever in the mood to use that one. Then just a little bit about some of the concerns that we had with the electric that's been addressed in your packets. At this time, we are not offering electric for the campers. We've not touted that we would do that. We're trying to be more of a stayover rather than a campground. We're trying to accommodate the people that come for the music and for the heritage experience. I'm kind of steering away from that campground thought process. We do appreciate all the people that have come in the past and have come to our farm and stayed with us and enjoyed our heritage events. We also wanted to address the security. I know in our last meeting we talked about hiring outside security. We think that that is the best maneuver for our situation, because in the past we have not had an incident at the farm, and so we hope to continue that way. And one of the ways to do that is to get a professional team in there that will take care of any situation and get it under control immediately without delay, because they're there. They're already there. I guess if you have all the information that was in the packets from the past, I'm hoping that I have addressed the issues that you saw. We did apply for a sign permit today for both pieces of property, one for the granddaddy side and one for our side, in the hopes that that will help communicate the traffic pattern that's coming to and leaving the farm. We hope people will not be confused, and we intend to keep the general public off the roadway. We have 19 acres there that we can pull traffic in and take care of the traffic situation. They won't be on the road, and they won't be blocking that road, and they won't be backed up to town like they do when Chandler comes through. All right. I hope I've covered every issue that we have.
One question, is the building air conditioned?
No, sir.
And on air conditioning?
Oh, no, that's the coldest building on the place, yeah. It's a block building. It's cooler in there than anywhere else. It's got fans inside. And once again, that block is really nice and cool. We're across the road. Yes, we are. Mm-hmm.
Honeyman at Iowa State University with concerns about...
No, I've not.
Happy that we could make sure we...
Are there concerns I need to address?
Well, I think my question is really this. I mean, the way that I understand the current conditional use permit and the uses permitted on the property, they really are agricultural in nature. It's not a very far stretch, I mean, in terms of the way the property is being used currently. But I guess I would have to suggest that maybe this is a very different type of use. And the letter that we got from Iowa State University, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to respond. That's why I'm bringing it up.
But thank you. I appreciate
I mean,
that.
Do you think, I mean, from somebody who lives on the property, do you really think that this use is compatible with the current nature of the property? And, I mean, maybe the answer is obvious. You may,
yes.
Just because you've entered into this lease. But, I mean, do you think that it's compatible with what's going on in this area, contrary to what is stated in this letter that we got from Iowa State University? And if so, I mean, I want to make sure that I give you an opportunity to tell me how.
Okay. Once again, we are Black's Heritage Farm, which and the word heritage means that this land will be passed on. This land won't be sold. And so this is the home place. This is where we live. This is where we've raised our children. This is where we intend to bring grandchildren and hopefully bring someone on deck to continue on this process. As far as traffic on our road, over the years, we used to have a lot of feed truck traffic on this road. Hence, when the seed company was gone, that traffic was not there. I would say our road now is being used by what used to be Iowa Acres. I'll bet that truck pounds up that road 20, 30 times a day. Iowa State themselves enjoys the opportunity to go up and down that road, 530th Avenue, at least half that many times with their traffic and their students and whoever. We get people that pull in our yard thinking that we are Iowa State. They need to put a sign up, or somebody needs to, that says Iowa State is on 280th and not on our property. What was the other issue here? As far as their livestock operations can be sensitive to noise, they might want to curb their own noise because they do keep us awake with their lights and their, however they grind up their hay. They dump it in a big machine that looks like a tornado. Let's see what else. The roads are muddy. Unfortunately, that's part of being on a gravel road. I don't know if anybody has plans to pave our roads, but until everybody decides to do that, we'll just have to put up with what happens here. They have a gravel road as well. So, sure. As far as the animals, we have animals right here on this piece of property that we're talking about. We have cattle, goats, chickens, cats, turkeys. You know, so we're very animal aware and very animal friendly on this piece of property. And we've had animals 4 or 5 generations on this piece of property. So we do understand the animal need and the priorities of animals.
And I think also it's important to remember that this is first and foremost a heritage farm. These events will go on, you know, maybe 7 to 8 evenings per month, and that's if it's completely booked. And that's not even for an entire day. You know, a concert's going to last 2 or 3 hours. This essentially is just bringing another form of entertainment that's popular to folks that have grown up in these types of places and bringing it to them, you know, a few months, well, not even year round.
Yeah.
You know, so we're looking at a very small portion of the time that's used in this farm is actually going to be used as entertainment at Granddaddy.
Tina, you mentioned that there would be no raffles on the property, and the ads that you've already placed in the paper prior to this states right on there, raffle drawing Saturday, May 3rd.
Well, that's
the other thing is you put on there no alcohol, and at the same time, I understand bring your own beverage, but your ad that you've got, the bottle of Crown Royal and two ads of Budweiser beer. I mean, come on, sir. That doesn't exactly sound, that sounds a little bit contrary to how you're portraying it to us.
And I understand that, and in looking at the materials after they were sent, understand that. That was, at the time that was made, that was prior to, thoroughly looking into what this event center actually was going to be. And I can tell you tonight that type of advertising will be completely changed. As I said earlier, there was a misunderstanding in terms of the hard alcohol. Once they consulted with me and we were able to talk to some people who at the ABD and kind of, get, that's why I'm here, was to help them clear these things up. And, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think they weren't addressing these issues, and going forward, we're going to comply with any and all statutes, ordinances, regulations going forward.
Can I ask what Recycle Stay Green program is?
Basically, our farm, for over 100 years, however many years we've been there, we have tried to utilize everything on the property in one fashion or another. And if that means revamping, reusing, recycling, reliving, so that indeed we don't create waste, because our goal at our farm is to utilize everything, whether it's a building, whether it's recycling the water bottles a couple of times by freezing them in the freezer, or whether it's utilizing our trees in our campfires, whatever. We try really hard to use everything on the farm at least one more time.
In the staff comment where it's referenced, it's talking about the portable toilets becoming an issue. So does that mean you're going to be dispersing the products out of the portable toilets on your property? Because that's how I'm reading this.
Oh, I'm sorry for the confusion there. No, that's not the case. The Kingstone comes, cleans them, and hauls it away. To my knowledge, there better not be any waste on my property, other than my own animals. And I'm sorry if there was confusion about that. Being green doesn't mean waste.
Will the business be owned and operated by Dan and Shelley, or are you
Correct.
The owner?
No, we're not the owner. We own the property.
If I can go back to the letter from Iowa State as the surrounding landowner, I guess I think what I'm hearing Ms. Black say is that she believes the concerns that they've cited from related to compatibility, traffic, and environmental protection, particularly sensitive to excessive noise, to dairy cattle operations, additional traffic, aggravating road conditions, and also just sort of when I look at their concern, it's sort of an overall, is a roadhouse really compatible with this area? I guess I would ask you those same questions. What I'm hearing Ms. Black say is that she just doesn't view it as being incompatible. And if there are issues with the road and there are issues with livestock and noise, well, that's already a problem. And, maybe this makes it worse, but, that's what I'm hearing. And I hope I'm not misstating that. That's what I'm hearing you say. I just want to make sure that you address these concerns, since we're talking about the major landowner here as well, surrounding landowner.
Well, I think a lot of the concern is, as he stated earlier, this is not a 7-day-a-week operation. It's a very time-limited operation, and it is part of our heritage. My family participated in and had bands as long as I can remember. We grew up listening to Johnny Cash, and it was a privilege to go get to see him. And I think that this is just one way for us to continue to pass it on. I know that Iowa State and the 450 Farm hold their own functions over there many, many times. They have tours to the dairy. So indeed, they're using the road just as much as we are, and I don't mean to sound off the cuff with that, but at the same time, you know, we're all using the road, every one of us. It's just our capacity is going to be a lot more limited than some of the other folks that are using it right now. You know, when the 450 Farm has their big function over there, that traffic is backed up and runs down both sides of that road. So, you know, we never complain. It's just part of life. We just all learn how to get along and make sure that we're making sure that our traffic is off the road.
And my prior comments weren't meant to portray that I thought it was incompatible. I was just trying to emphasize the point that, you know, even if they were concerned about that, we're not trying to build Wells Fargo Arena out here and have Brad Paisley. You know, this is a very small operation that's related to the lifestyle that this type of property represents, and the type of lifestyle that they'd like to encourage. And this is just another aspect of that. It's a very small aspect of it, but this is also a very small amount of time that this overall facility is being put to use. It's essentially just looking to embellish the overall experience and also provide a service to the folks in Story County to have something that's unlike anything else in the area.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to see a show of hands from the audience of the number of people that would like to request to have an opportunity at the podium. We're away from the applicant portion now. We're now to the public comments. So anyone that wants to talk about this particular conditional use permit, I just need to know who wants to have the opportunity to come up entirely across all of you. So this isn't a, you know, retort and come back and this. Everybody gets a chance, if they want to come to the podium and to address the board. So we have one? Two? No? Okay. Well, if you are the one, if you would please come to the podium and address the board, we'd appreciate it. Identify your name, please.
Michael Clair, C-L-A-I-R. I'm here for a different reason, I guess. I've been listening to everything that's been said and questions that have been asked. And I represent Nashville here tonight. I can give you my background. I'll just give you a short background on me so you know who I am and so you know why I'm here. Obviously, I was born in Iowa, but I left Iowa at a very young age. I've been in the music business my entire life. And in the 80s, I served as A&R for a company called MCA Records in Nashville under Tony Brown. So I learned the record business part of it from there, and I played on the Grand Ole Opry for many, many years. Can't even tell you how many years now. Played as recently as last year there. I moved back to Iowa to help my family because I grew up here. My mother passed away last year of cancer, so I moved my whole family back here. I uprooted from Nashville and came back here. And one of the tasks that was put before me when I came back here, all the artists that I worked for, including David Frizzell, Merle Haggard, all these various artists were saying, we need a place in the Midwest that's like Austin City Limits. I don't know if you're familiar with that show or not, Austin City Limits, but they feature Americana acts, not just country acts, but they have acts like Steve Miller, who I worked for 13 years, Hal Ketchum, Kev Moe, who I just recently...
Let's just get away from all
I'm just trying to give you my background so you know...
We understand that you're from Nashville and you're from that part of the music and artist scenery, so...
I'm not saying it to brag. I'm trying to let you know where we're going with
it. I know, it was just dragging out and we were just adding names.
I apologize. Please forgive me. I can ramble sometimes, but I apologize. The other aspect of this is the digital streaming, and that's my background is in IT and filming live concerts, that type of thing. And what we were looking for is a show, something like Austin City Limits, but we wanted to do it here in the Midwest. And this is so centered, and it's such a good hub
right here in the Midwest, the heart of everything. All these bands, I've traveled through Iowa, I can't tell you how many years, always going through, never stopping, on our way to Chicago or heading out west. All these acts are looking for a home here. They want a place where they can have, you know, a place to stop instead of just driving through Iowa and wondering what, you know, other than playing a fair here occasionally every few years, we hardly ever play Iowa. It's kind of an ignored state that way. There's really not that many great shows that happen here. And the reason I'm behind this project and want to support it is because the facility is perfect for filming. The stage looks like the Grand Ole Opry stage. I have a letter in there that I wrote to you guys. I'm representing over 24 major acts just from Nashville, not counting the acts from Iowa here that Dan is going to hire as well. It's a real opportunity for all these bands to be part of something, you know, that's never happened in Iowa before. Revenue stream that it'll bring into this town is great. It's not small. I mean, when we're talking about the money, let's talk about the money. The money that can come in will come from all the services that'll be used in the town, the hotels that'll need to be rented, gas. People always need gas. They're going to need food. They don't always eat at a show. They're going to need restaurants. They're going to need a lot of service, and this town has it. Ames is very close by, so there's plenty of rooms. There's plenty of service. I'm sure none of those people would frown too much at having people buy gas and food and services. That's just part of it. And the other part of it is that there is an educational part of this that's been not talked about yet. I ran a school in Idaho for 5 years where I taught kids at risk how to create movies and movie scores. And I have awards for movie scores, Countdown to Destruction. You can look at my IMDb. And I taught these kids that were in, several of them were in prison. I had to go get them out of jail. The judges would sentence them to my program. And I worked with them in that program. It was called Western States College in Gooding, Idaho. And you can Google that up and look at that. We were very successful with these kids. And a lot of the kids went on, six of them went on to work on the pirate.
Why are you getting off course again?
Okay, well, I'm trying to explain to you that this is an important thing here. It really is.
Get the fact that this is an important project to you. That's registered.
But it should be to everyone, because it can serve this entire community. It's not just digital streaming. It's the kids here. We could help. I work with the Variety Children's Telethon in Des Moines. We raise money every year for that. And all that money goes out to different organizations, Ronald McDonald House. Dan's offered to let us do fundraisers there, too, at the place. So, I mean, we're really excited about that. And I'm not trying to take you off course or lead you around and say, hey, it's this or that. I'm just really excited about it because there's nothing like it. And Iowa really needs this. And the tourism dollars it could generate, too. RFD is on board. They're in 160 countries on Sky, Dish Network. They're waiting for me to find out if we're going to have a place to do this. David Frizzell has a show called David Frizzell and Friends, which he intends to film here if we can get the conditional use permit. So it's not pie in the sky. We just need a venue. So I'm begging you to really think about that and hopefully allow this to happen, because we'd love to see it.
Thank you. Last chance for anyone else from the public. Okay, now I'm going to ask for a closing comment from Mr. Keener and Maureen, if you would both come up, since we were addressing both of you. And there's something I'd like to say to you before you get started. And I think this is a very important, this is very germane to the topics that are going on. I think that you have a misunderstanding of the Board of Adjustments and the process that we are doing here. We are not the Board of Supervisors. We are not planning and zoning. We have nothing to do with economic development. We are strictly here about the Story County Land Development Regulations. That's it. So when we rule, we have to rule on some very narrow criteria that you heard staff talk about. We can't branch out into people want this, and then people are tweeting this.
and all of that. That's irrelevant because we have six criteria you'll hear us talk about. We've got to talk about compatibility. We've got to talk about transition. We've got to talk about traffic. We've got to talk about parking and loading, signs and lighting, environmental protection. And if we can't address those, then we have nothing to talk about, okay? The other stuff is all superfluous to the conversation. That is what we are bound to. We're bound to something very narrow. So we're not part of what you've gone through to get here. We're a different sort of a step. And so we can't deal with education and et cetera, which is why I was trying to get us a little bit back on course. I don't blame you. You did fine as far as that part goes. But I'm telling you all that those are the questions when we close that the board's going to talk about. So this is your chance for rebuttal, and I'd like you to more specifically address not all the wonderful things you're going to do, but how that criteria should be looked at by us.
Thank you, and thank you for kind of educating us on what will help you the best way. So I will just walk through as I did earlier. If you'd like me to give more information about any certain topic, please just let me know. Number one, the parking. We've submitted a more detailed parking plan as was requested. This is approved for the prior conditional use permits, and here we'll actually have staff on hand to direct people to those parking places. As far as the alcoholic and beverage division, I addressed that earlier. I've spoken with them. I have also given them counsel on what they can and cannot do, and I think we're kind of all on the same page with regard to that now. As far as the hours of operation, I understand that that's something that the board in and of itself has placed upon us. While I'm sure there's going to be disagreement, we're willing to do what it takes to get this permit. I addressed the raffles. That's no longer something that we're looking to get into. As far as the compatibility, I would echo what Noreen said earlier. I mean, if anybody would know, it's Noreen. Her family's had this for five generations. We're just looking to embellish the experience at Black's Heritage Farm. And it does not change what Black's Heritage Farm is all about. It does not change what it stands for. It just simply adds another aspect and maybe modernizes it a little bit to reach a broader audience that would normally come to a heritage farm. As far as the signage, the permit was requested today.
Yes, we did.
Okay. And the lighting, as you'll see in your packet, has been addressed. Is there anything else that you just mentioned that we haven't touched upon? Essentially, what we have here is we've taken what feedback we received. We've done our best to address every single one of them. We've got the car. The car's got gas in it. We're just waiting to get the keys. No more expense needs to go into this. We're not looking to ask anything from the county, just permission.
Yeah, as far as compatibility, our farm has always cooperated with the rules and regulations that we were given in the past for our tourist farm permit. Once again, we have had multiple events over the 13 years that we have had our permit. We've had several hundred people on deck in any given time. No complaints, no problems, no collisions, no traffic on the road. I know that there are, in the example of Iowa State, when they have their tours, they do have a lot of traffic on the road. We keep our traffic off the road. And we put buses on our property. If that means putting them in the front yard and unloading those kids, that's what we do. And I can correct the grass later. But we don't leave traffic on the road. And we'll be as compatible as we can. I hope that the information that you gave, that we gave you, clears up all the issues that we have tried to address today. If you have any other comments or any other issues you'd like to address, I'd be glad to help you this evening.
I guess I would just continue to ask questions about compatibility. I mean, if you take a look at
one of you said, I'm sorry, which I don't remember which one, we're talking about potentially 8 events per month, and the building itself has a capacity of 800 persons, and it seems to me, and if you look at our report, it basically says one of the traffic concerns is we've got comings and goings in the evening and early morning, which, I mean, based on the nature of this type of establishment, I mean, that's kind of what you'd expect, right? But it's different, isn't it, than the traffic that there exists now? Because we're talking about early a.m. traffic, late p.m. traffic. I mean, this is an entirely different use, a very, very different animal. And I guess I'd like to see that addressed. I mean, maybe you just dismiss that.
Oh, no, we're not dismissing that.
I mean,
that's why we encourage the stayovers. That's why we encourage the type of parking that we're doing. So that indeed, if we have to lock the gates to keep people from leaving, we will.
And the revised floor plan, the capacity is only 470. So the original figure.
That was standing room only 800 people, I think, is what they were looking at.
So we recalculated using the statutory formula, and that's what we came up with.
And once again, as far as you're speaking of, we held multiple events in the past, and the folks did leave in and out, like when ISU Vet Club was there, and they had their, how can I put this delicately, their nut event. They were coming and going, and they were there till morning, and then they dispersed. There was probably at least 300 to 500 people at that event, and once again, it was very...
Talking about, what, an annual event? I mean, that's different than 7 or 8 times a month with that number of people, isn't it?
Well,
that's the idea that that's a very different thing.
Yes, and once again, we've installed gates, and if we have to keep people parked, we will. And that's just how it's going to go. We'll let traffic out as it needs to go, and we will have staff on deck taking care of that problem. It won't be where they just get to pull in and pull out willy-nilly.
Go
ahead.
This is going to be, first of all, to have that many people every single weekend, I think, would be great. And we'd love to have to address that down the road. Not, in all honesty, probably not what we're looking at to start. Also, these are the type of events where there's not one set start and one set ending. And you're going to have folks coming in and out all the time. Hilton Coliseum, where everybody's coming in to get tip off at 6 o'clock, and then at 8:30, everybody's on the way back out. You know, we'll be able to regulate that, and you know, given the layout as you'll see on the
plane,
the parking map, you know, they put some thought into how to get these people in and out in the most efficient way possible.
I think the big thing is, indeed, people will cooperate. We've always found in the past with all of our events, whether it's a wedding or whether it's ISU Vet Club or whoever it is, they're always willing to cooperate. We've never had a trash issue on our property. If any trash is on our property, it blew in from somewhere else. Any event we've ever had, the grounds were in better shape afterwards than they were before.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
We will now close the case of CUPO3-14 for purposes of deliberation. Okay, we've got in your packet here this evening to consider first the findings of facts that were presented by the board. I don't know if... Do we want to correct at this point in time the square footage of the property? Because there are several variables that come off of that. I believe the staff report had it at 7,400 on page 3. Now that's part of the findings of fact that we've got to ratify.
for 300 persons.
And that's just actually up in the narrative, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not down in the findings.
Okay.
That would not be necessary then. Any changes or modifications to the findings of fact?
Move to adopt the findings of fact and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second from McGill and from Scarlett to adopt the findings of fact and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Steelmeyer? Scarlett?
Okay. We need to move on to the decision part, and this is a two-part process. As we said, we've got to determine whether we've got any concerns about compatibility, about transition, about traffic, about parking and loading, about signs and lighting, and about environmental protection. Now, we know that several of these could be addressed if we wanted to by conditions, and they provided us additional information this evening associated with lights and parking, as they said. Are there any areas that you believe cannot be addressed by conditions that have some overarching concerns?
It's a question of compatibility and the purpose with the zoning that they're in. It's an agricultural zoning. I guess I just fail to see the compatibility. I also have some questions on environmental protection, noise. I've been around some of this. It's amazing how that can travel even in a concrete building. I have some concerns on that. I think parking and loading could be addressed. I think signs and lighting could be addressed. Traffic, probably on their property, but I question the purpose compatibility on the road itself continually. Occasionally they do have get-togethers, they have meetings, I understand, but this is a continual pounding on that road every, you know, three nights a week during the summer through to November. And so I have some problems with that. You know, that's
Victoria, I think you've kind of indicated a number of your concerns. Would you like to elaborate on those anymore?
Well, I think for me, primarily there's a compatibility question. And if I understood what our applicant told us correctly, I guess I don't want to use the word dismissive necessarily of compatibility concerns, but it's clear that it's a really, really different use from the way that the property is being used right now, and you know, and based on some of the promotional print materials, and I do appreciate you know, the discussion about the advertising and how that would change. I mean, it's hard to look at the advertising and some of these promotional materials and think, wait a minute, I mean, this is really, really different than what is currently going on in this area. Sort of coupled by the fact that we've got the major and maybe even sole surrounding landowner telling us, you know, guys, we don't think this is compatible at all with what's going on out there. I don't disagree with anything that Steve has said. I have a lot of concerns about traffic as well and the way that you put it, the pounding on that road. You know, if this facility would be terribly successful, I mean, you know, eight events a month. I mean, that's a lot of traffic, even if we're talking about a, you know, 470-person capacity, if this facility were really, really successful, which, you know, sort of brings it into an area where it seems less and less compatible the more successful that it is, quite frankly. And so I don't, like I said, I don't disagree with anything Steve has said. I think that it's a stretch to think that this is compatible. And really, I really wanted to give the applicant an opportunity to tell us how it was compatible with the particular area. But I guess my concerns sort of outweigh any explanation that we've heard about how they believe that it is compatible.
I have to agree with what Victoria and Steve said regarding compatibility. I just don't see how it fits into a heritage farm. And when I think about the parking and I listen to the sounds on the roof and think about the 5 to 8 inches of rain we're going to be getting, those parking lots are going to be a muddy mess. And then, you know, what do you do? I know you can't gravel it all, but, and last year we had droughts, I know, but that doesn't always happen. So my concerns are with the compatibility in the parking.
Well, I think you make some compelling points, and I think that's why I wanted to hang up is the compatibility. And where I go back to is the definition of the ordinance. And what it says is that when they talk about compatibility, it says to be compatible with the character of the zoning district. So that's not even just a building or other stuff like that. And staff even points out that the hours of operation were unprecedented for an A1 zoning. I mean, we're dealing with A1 is pure A. That's what it is. And the compatibility that we're asked to do, like I said, is compatible with the character of the zoning district. You know, not whether it fits in with a rural theme or anything else like that. So I think we really have to hang our hats on, is this compatible with an A1 zone? And I have some reservations about that aspect of it. If it was zoned differently, I might think of it differently. So do we have a finding that the criteria for compatibility in particular is not being met?
I would say so, yes.
And we'd have to vote on that.
Next move, we go right to this.
I don't believe we're going to have to state why. Well, I think we're going to have to find that the criteria of, if you want to just say, the criteria of compatibility is not being met.
Okay. Move to deny the conditional use permit as proposed by the applicant in case CUP 03-14, discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustment and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that the criteria of compatibility is not being met as per the statute.
I'm not sure how to do this, but I would only move to modify that motion so that we make a finding that compatibility is not met, but if I'm hearing everyone right, also that the criteria of traffic is not met, the criteria of parking and loading is not met, and the criteria of environmental protection is not met. So I think I'd just broaden it and make additional findings.
I'd accept that as
don't have a second, so at this point in time, we can.
All right.
Okay.
Well, then I'll second Steve's motion.
if I can catch this. We have a motion to deny the conditional use permit as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP03-14, as discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustment, and the staff report for therefore presented by the Story County Board of Adjustments, finding that the criteria for compatibility, for traffic, for parking, and for environmental protection have not been completely met.
That's correct.
Roll, please.
Before you take a vote, if I may, I think you guys need to take a step back and actually take action on the decision.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was headed, but the way that...
I think you can, in the past, what you've done when there's been a conclusion reached by the Board of Adjustment members that all the development criteria are not met, that you simply say that in the motion and the decision, and then repeat what you were doing at the order.
Then repeat that.
Right. Sorry, I should have been up here sooner. I just caught that. You know, jumped right to the order.
Okay, so how would you word that then, Leanne? Because we're moving to adopt the decision.
Take that out.
We move to deny the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report. That.
Or you could. You can leave it in the affirmative, move to adopt the decision, but under each of those criteria that you find are not satisfied, simply write through your motion a statement that the board finds this criterion not satisfied. And staff, when we issue the final decision order, can reflect that. I'll say that again. When you word the motion, you can leave in the affirmative that you adopt the decision. And then further in that motion, specify those development criteria that are not satisfied, in your opinion, and direct staff to modify the language in the decision and order to reflect such. A simple statement, the board finds this development criterion not satisfied. Have I muddied that more?
Yeah.
I had a nice little wipe off board, I could write it. Another option, you can individually go through and compatibility, collectively take a vote, which you've done in the past, as to whether or not that standard is satisfied. That record would then, the official record would then define whether or not you found that standard is satisfied, go down each of them, and then at the end, adopt the decision accordingly.
Satisfied without conditions?
Right.
Because I think some of them could be addressed with conditions, but
and that is your decision to make.
Leanne, could you state for the audience who you are and your position and why you are helping the board? I think there's some confusion.
I am Leanne Harder. I'm the development director for Story County Planning and Development, and it's my role to assist them as they go forward.
Okay. After that. Move to adopt a decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment, except the areas of compatibility, traffic, and environmental protection. And parking and loading. Where'd she go? Are not satisfied. Cut.
I'll second that. Yeah.
No. We have a motion from McGill and a second from Fielmeyer to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for presenting to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that the following criteria have not been met as presented: compatibility, traffic, parking and loading, and environmental protection, and directing staff to word the decision appropriately to make those modifications as part of the decision.
Roll, please.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Steelmeyer. McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye. Then we would have the order.
Okay, so in light of our motion on the decision, we would have to move to deny the CUP as proposed by the applicant in case number 0314 is described. Finding that applicable standards of approval have not been satisfied.
Second.
We have a motion from Fielmeyer and a second from Scarlett to deny the conditional use permit as proposed by the applicant in case CUP 03-14 as discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustments and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustments finding that all applicable standards of approval have not been satisfied. Roll, please.
McGill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Fielmeyer.
Okay, we will move on to the second case this evening, and that would be CUP 05-14, Black Conditional Use Permit for a Church.
This is the same property on for the previous case. again, the surrounding property owner map. Subject property highlighted in red. Request a conditional use permit to allow for a church in the A1 zoning district. According to the promotional materials for Granddaddy's Roadhouse, the Veg Center, the church will operate from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. on Sundays. Food will be served following church services, presumably catered from an outside source, as no commercial kitchen is proposed at this time. The church will be initially located in the same existing building as proposed in CUP 0314. It would utilize the same parking areas as proposed in CUP 0314. The applicant is unsure at this time how many persons to expect for services. And again, there's no running water in this facility, with restrooms and hand washing being provided by portable toilets and hand washing stations. Again, same existing building, highlighted in blue there in the aerial photo. Looking at the compatibility criterion, staff noted that the property is surrounded by agricultural land owned by Iowa State University. The nearest dwelling is located 1/2 mile north from the proposed site. The use will be located inside an existing concrete building. Some transition is created by the distance of the facility and surrounding properties. The structure is located approximately 200 feet from the nearest property line. The property is surrounded by fencing. The applicant has proposed plantings along the north side of the property and perhaps the front, but has not proposed plantings to the west or south. There are 3 points of ingress and egress located on the property that provide direct access to the proposed site. It is the understanding of staff that the CUP for Chandis Technologies required traffic control on 5:30 during free drop-off days due to heavy traffic. If the church accommodates that many people, 470, traffic congestion on 5:30 may be an issue without a plan in place to efficiently park vehicles on site. Looking at parking and loading, the site plan provided by the applicant shows 3 areas for parking, totaling approximately 3 acres. Obviously, this is dented with the new information provided by the applicant this evening. the number of potential vehicles parking on site on a regular basis may create drivability issues after the heavy rain if the parking areas remain in their current composite of grass, dirt, and loose gravel. No signage is proposed for the church. Any future signage shall be submitted to planning development for staff review and approval. Church services take place during the day, so lighting should not be an issue. Churches typically impact environmental and visual sources minimally. According to the applicant, they have a Recycle Stay Green program. We received details on that during the last case. Looking at the final criteria, staff noted that several churches have been established throughout the county in A1 zoning district and have not shown any conflict with these principles. Again, the burden of persuasion language in our ordinance. Received one comment from county staff regarding this case. This is Margaret James, Story County Sanitarian. As per applicant, there is no running water for this facility. Portable toilets and hand washing stations will be provided. If interior plumbing is added, it will be necessary to install a septic system. On April 7th, the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission recommended conditional approval of the conditional use permit as put forward in the case to the Story County Board of Adjustment with the following conditions. One, that the prior conditions of a conditional use permit, a detailed parking plan shall be submitted identifying the size and location of parking spaces, as well as the required number of ADA accessible spaces. That shall ensure parking plan is in conformance with the ordinance prior to issuing a conditional use permit. Applicant shall keep weekly records of the approximate number of people and vehicles attending services and shall supply records to staff 1 year after approval. The permit shall be reviewed by staff and the Board of Adjustment 1 year after approval. They shall determine at that time whether the number of people and vehicles attending church services warrants any additional conditions of approval and or further review in the future. Any use of a different structure for church services shall apply for a modification to the original conditional use permit, as well as any changes to what has presented to staff in the application materials and this report. With that, I leave you with the following four alternatives. I'm happy to answer any questions.
For staff?
No.
Hearing none then. Applicant?
I'd like to restate the fact that I'm Noreen Black from Black Heritage Farms. Our farm has been in business for many, many years. We used to be a seed company. We are not a seed company anymore. And so consequently, we are now trying to readjust our properties and make them useful and profitable and continue to do positive things with them. If you'll bear with, I'd like to hand this out. One of the reasons that we decided to try to have church on the property was because we know that there's a real need to guide our young people and change the thought processes that are going on in the world now. So we took that upon ourselves. Starts at home. The idea of putting the church inside of the venue that was shown earlier was that we could indeed do multiple things in there, reunions, weddings, any type of events that went along with the church itself, youth groups. We've had 4-H book that building for 4 months this year, and so indeed we start our meals with a blessing and we end them with thanks. We are having open house at our farm, May 3rd. You are welcome to come and see how we operate. Farms were built on hard work, dedication, and a sincere belief in something. We intend to be very compatible with the community. because this will be held during the day, not necessarily on Sundays, and we do hope to keep in tune with whatever is going on our road. Once again, if you'll bear with, I'd like to hand this out. I'm not sure if you folks are familiar with any of the religious groups that do come. There have been many, many groups that have come to other areas. I'm originally from Wisconsin, and they have many revivals and many, many events that religion and music walk hand in hand. And that was our hope, was to provide that extra at the farm. If you have any questions for me, I'd be glad to answer them.
Did I hear you say that the church services may not necessarily be held on just Sunday?
Correct. If you have a wedding, I would consider that church. If you have a reunion, indeed, we would hope that they would respect and have prayer at the beginning of each meal.
One of my concerns still is the restroom facilities and the little bit of the compatibility issue. I've been around some of these churches, and the traffic also can get to be substantial, especially if you get into it on a regular basis. And I do applaud you for your efforts.
Thank you.
I can see a lot of traffic come rolling in there and rolling out. I've been around a couple of these churches. They can get backed up, and it can be a real traffic snag.
Well, we have 19 acres, and that's a lot of parking. We have a pile of rock waiting to be spread to accommodate the property so that we won't have muddy situations. It's a railroad granite that was retrieved when the railroad was taken out of our property. It's as hard as you can get. So indeed, putting down a 3-inch base of that would take care of a lot of situations. It's been there a long time. As far as traffic is one of your issues, once again, we'll get traffic off the road. We've handled traffic for 60 years on the property. We used to have trucks that went in and out that carried a lot more weight than any of these vehicles that do now when they were carrying seed to and from the farm. We'd have as high as 20 to 30 trucks a day. So that road has seen a lot of traffic in its years, more than it's ever seen. We were a thriving business and employed thousands and thousands of people over the years when we were a seed business.
And maybe I just have to go back to the beginning. How does this request to use this property as a church really differ from the way that it's being currently used? What's the purpose of this request from your standpoint? How does this change what you're able to do?
Well, to be quite frank, we were having events like this before they told us we needed this kind of permit because we were under the direction that we thought it was part of our tourist fund permit. We've held weddings, we've had just about any reunions, family reunions, we've had church groups, meetings, we've had Iowa State at our property multiple times. Our son had his wedding there. We've had 4-H, FSA, you name it, we've had multiple groups over the years at the farm.
Estimate for me, and I mean, when I think of church, that's how I traditionally think. Sounds like, I mean, what you're requesting here is maybe broader than that, I mean, in terms of the definition of church. And can you tell us what's the current use? What is it that you're
asking? The warehouse. And we have used it for these events in the past.
How often does it
do they occur? I mean, could you say, is it like a four times?
At least once a month in the past, if not more. During pumpkin patch season, it's a lot busier. Once again, this is the first time in 5 years that we're opening back up again for spring baby animals, and we'll continue on with at least one event a month. Depends on who books us and for what reasons.
The largest crowd you've had out there?
Over 1,000 people. Correct. Actually, they were using two buildings at that point in time.
So are you asking for this for a specific congregation that meets on a Sunday morning?
No.
Continue.
No, we're not. We're asking that the building be able to be used in the fashion of church, whether it's a wedding. Any denomination can come and have the wedding there, or a family reunion, or whatever family events they want to hold there. And the reason we had to label it church was because of the church, of holding church there. We have several churches that don't really have a home right now that would come or like to come if permitted and utilize this building. It's a perfect building for church, even in the summertime. It has a wood ceiling and block, and we've lined it. When we held the events there in the past, to our knowledge, no one complained to the county. We've never heard a noise complaint in the 13 years that we've been doing this.
Following up on Steve's question, at least our report, what it says, and I think it's based on operates from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Sundays.
Correct.
And I think that was sort of one of our slides here. I mean, that's not really what you contemplate by this request, is it? I mean, if somebody wants to have a wedding on a Friday night, I mean, you'd like to be able to do that.
Yes. Yes.
But if we pass this conditional use permit, do you have several congregations that you're going to start rotating them through there on a regular basis on Sunday?
If we can, yes. It's unfortunate that churches who don't have a lot of funds don't have a place. And we would make this economically feasible for them.
Can I ask Ryan a question? No.
It's a clarifying one. That
it is. Yeah. I'm looking at this map, and it indicates that there's 130 vehicle parking spots. Where are the rest of them? I'm only looking at 47 on another page I've got. I didn't know if I was missing a page, because I've got this one that shows the 47. Then this one just indicates that there's 130 spaces.
I think the between the two maps, part of it's cut off. So look at the first map. It only goes so far north, and then you have
the second map.
Where the second page shows parking spots north of the designated building.
They'd be north of that building?
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant?
No.
Okay. Do you have anyone from the public that would wish to speak this evening on this particular one? Okay, then Maureen, any closing statements you would like to make?
Just the fact that we're looking forward to trying to make our property do something besides be dead.
Okay, we will then. Is there any other comments from the public? Same letter we had before.
Same letter from Iowa State.
So then we will close.
CUP 05-14 for purposes of deliberation. I'd like to talk to staff a little bit about this events thing. I don't want to do something that is inconsistent or isn't going to work. And we've got this Sunday thing that's out there. It's clearly being used by events as we go down through that. You know, one-time events, not the ongoing thing that we were looking at before. How did this get steered down the church avenue?
In the application for the event center, it included the statement possibly church. Upon our looking at the application, there's precedent that every single different type of use on a property is allowed to pursue its own, is required to pursue its own conditional use permit, separate. So there's no combining of requests into one. So we have the list of conditional uses which are allowed in A1 zoning district. A church is one of them. That it's required in that case to go through a conditional use permit process. Another one is the adaptive reuse of existing buildings, for instance. So that's why it's separate. And additionally, church is defined in our ordinance as means of building or structure or groups of buildings or structures that by design and construction are primarily intended for conducting organized religious services and associated accessory service uses. Additionally, I would add that we received guidance from the county attorney's office to pursue these in different as different conditional use permit requests.
Staff still view this request the same way? I mean, if what we're talking about is, I mean, I can understand church, and based on what you're telling me the definition is, you know, like if you wanted to have a wedding out there or some sort of really religious service out there, I think that that's contemplated within, it sounds like, your definition, the definition of church under our ordinances. But is that consistent with all of the uses that are out there, or is this better? I mean, is there some other request that should be made in order to use the building the way that the applicant appears to want to use it?
I would add that I'm a little confused because the application materials in their request for the church state that a building has not been designated at this time. Temporary services are to be held in the event center until such time as the church can be established. The building we were utilized to be burned was burned by an arsonist. Free food provided to the public after service. And additionally, at the Planning and Zoning Commission, these sorts of ancillary sorts of events associated with an actual formal church service were not presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission. So we're just hearing this evening. So I guess I'm not sure how to answer your question. As staff, we can only, if I may, we can only go off of the information that's presented in an application for uses, for purposes of performing our analysis for the staff report.
Clearly, they were going to hold one event in March, and that was shut down. You know, if anything, I'd like the board to be able to come to some, you know, resolution to solve the problem rather than to do this. I mean, if we deal with this as a church that's open from 10 until noon on Sunday, and then they have a wedding on a Saturday, do we have just another problem? I don't want to create that kind of confrontation. So, I'm trying to deal with the fact that it either is a church and it's not restricted to Sunday, so it's allowed to have other religious-related things, which is not uncommon for other churches.
But I don't want to go through this whole thing and then just have another issue with a wedding reception that's occurring on Friday night. That's I guess my problem here at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
I mean, because these two issues were kind of co-joined at the hip, and I understand why they want to pull them apart, I mean, does that make this particular application somewhat incomplete? Because I don't think they're asking. They're not asking us and haven't asked us tonight to only be able to use this Sundays from 10 a.m. to 12. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're hearing. So I think if we acted on this particular item in the way it's presented to us, I think we've creating some more problems as opposed to resolving some of them. Noreen, could I ask you to come to the podium? As long as we're asking you up there, that's perfectly fine.
I have to agree with you, and I guess if you need us to change the times
Here's the thing that I guess I would like to ask whether you would consider.
Okay.
I'd like to try to table this for 1 month to give you time to sit down with staff.
Okay.
To say, okay, you know, you did this other thing last night, but now we have this, and to understand what it is that we have. Because right now we're looking at a church from 10 to 12, which is getting, and you clearly have said, well, that's not exactly how we're going to use it.
I'd
like to get those lines backed up again so that it can work for everybody.
I think what has happened is once people knew that we were trying to get the church established, then indeed that's where we were getting the requests for the weddings and the other types of events that kind of follow that path, which is a different path than the one we heard earlier. And I think that's why I explained it tonight that way, so that we could all be clear on that. And like you say, it's not in the permit that we're asking for. But indeed, how would I word that then? So do we need to be a lot more open? Okay, because I'm not getting this right, obviously.
I am in the conditions that you had. I mean, when I go to the staff report, it was the background information is the only place I see it is operated from 10 until 12.
Correct. That's how we started. We had a church function.
The conditions that are in there being recommended say nothing about days or times.
Right.
And again, you know, we're the applicant is held, their conditional use permit is held accountable by what they present in their application.
Right.
And what's presented at the meeting. So you're approving what is presented in the application. In the meeting.
But this
any changes from that would require a modification or wouldn't be compatible with the conditional use permit.
Then at this time, can I voluntarily ask to go back and go under review?
We can table it.
Okay.
We place it on the table, which suspends it at this point.
Right.
And would ask them that staff would work with you to get your application aligned up.
Right.
With a staff report, so that, again, we just don't want to do something that's going to cause...
No, and neither do we. We, you know, like you say, we don't want 300 people pull up for a wedding reception that can't be held because we're in violation of what's happening or what's allowed.
Yeah, do you have something to say?
Yes.
Fidgeting in your chair.
From staff's perspective, just a couple questions. Are you just tabling it to... So Noreen can bring forward additional information and work with staff. Are you taking a step back to the Planning and Zoning Commission as well and have them look at the application as possibly revised and formulate a new recommendation? That's my first question. And then second, if it's just tabling back to staff and the applicant, we would like you to pick a date to have it come back forward to you. Just not tabled indefinitely.
Personally, I have not intended to go back to the planning and zoning because, you know, here again, we're dealing with a church, and a church is compatible. We have other churches in there. We don't have those kinds of issues. So I'm just trying to align an application along with these materials so that they say the same thing. That's really all I would be asking is staff to work with the applicant to get the application revised if necessary,
but aligned with the documents that we have here.
Or are we better off to deny and have her resubmit?
There, from the applicant's perspective, that's another application fee, and it's through the entire process again. I would just ask, since you all are here, if you could just bullet point some of the like hours of operation, types of activities, specific direction to help Noreen.
I think we had some of those in the previous application because it talks when it's functioning as an event, which isn't an ongoing. There were hours and there were other things in there which I would not really take issue with, because essentially someplace in there it said that it would be available 7 days a week, you know, between the hours of this and this, and I'm comfortable with that. That at least gives us a timeline and a framework to work in. So I think the words, without my picking through all these dozens of sheets of paper, are essentially there. It's just trying to pick out the events associated with this and not the ongoing, what I consider ongoing business, is what we talked about before.
And so related to the definition that Ryan read earlier, it's those religious activities and accessory uses to those religious activities. That's the tie that has to be made.
What I'm hearing, and I'm just trying to get alignment so that we don't pass something and all of a sudden we have this Sunday thing hanging over our head.
A date specific or a time frame for the next Board of Adjustment meeting?
Time is going to take you. Depends on availability.
Your next meeting is June, since you're a week early. Yeah, I mean, the onus is actually on Noreen to give us information so that we can respond to by the 13th. Okay. No, 13th of May.
Okay.
That's the deadline for the June agenda.
Okay.
And come back to the June meeting?
Yep.
Okay. So, I'm going to motion to table.
Thank you.
I move we table... CPU 0514 to our next meeting.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to table CUP 05-14, asking that the applicant and the staff get together to align the criteria and the application, and to bring that back to the board at the June meeting. Roll, please.
Scarlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Steelmeyer.
Okay, we will go on to our third application this evening, and this is a variant. It's VAR 03-14 for Casey's Marketing Company. Staff, please.
Good evening. As you mentioned, this is the Casey's Marketing Company variance request, the property owner being Casey's Marketing Company, location at the southwest corner of U.S. Highway 69 and 170th Street, which is also commonly referred to as County Road E23, the Gilbert Blacktop, whatever it may be. Size of this parcel is approximately 1.55 acres. Zoning in place on the property, it is zoned CLI, commercial/light industrial. It is assessed as a commercial use as it currently contains a restaurant, an office building, and a convenience store. Looking at the land use framework map designation, the county development plan designate the property as Tier 2 cooperative planning area, as it is within 2 miles of the city of Gilbert. This request is for a variance to Section 86.105 to allow for a proposed commercial retail store to have a 30-foot front setback and where a 50-foot is required, and a 5-foot rear setback where 20 is required. And below there is just the setback requirements for the commercial light industrial district. This is a site plan that the applicant had submitted with it. I've kind of outlined a few areas here that I'm going to focus in on here in the next slide. But if you can see, the one on the left here is the proposed building.
the rear property line, kind of this darker black dotted line here. And you can see right here that their proposed setback from that line is 5 feet. Now, this is the gas station canopy. What we would do on this one for setbacks, we would measure them from where the actual poles go on the ground to hold up the canopy. We were assuming that those were these marks right here. And you can see here on this one that those are setback 30 feet. I believe the agenda gave a different setback on the front, and that was because initially we were thinking that it was this thing from the front of this right here. But after we did clarify that, the 30 foot is the actual variance request that they're asking from the front. Going over the staff report that was submitted, I'll outline a few of the key findings of facts. First of all, based off what we've been able to gather, there's been a service station located on this parcel since at least 1930s. That's as far back as we go in aerial photography, and we can see it there in the 1930s. The restaurant, which was used to be the Suburban Restaurant on the subject property, that was built in 1956 according to assessment records. Zoning was implemented in Surrey County in 1958. When this property first came in, it was zoned A1 agriculture. However, in 1963, the Board of Supervisors did rezone it to C1 commercial and light industrial. That included most of the subject property. I'll have a graphic up here at the end that will kind of show you what I'm talking about. That particular zoning did bring the property into conformance with its current use. Again, that service station had always been there, and when zoning was first implemented, it was zoned agriculture. Wasn't in conformance at that time. They did the rezoning on it to bring it into conformance. The office building that's in place on the property, that was issued a zoning permit in 1977. The current gas station or the general store that is there, that was built through a zoning permit that was issued in 1978. It replaced the previous previous service station that was in place on the property. Getting into a few variance requests that we've had, pretty similar on this one, but we have to go back to 1983. But there was an application for a variance to the rear setback requirements of at that time, which was considered the C2 district. And the request was to build an addition onto the rear side of the convenience store with a rear setback of approximately 4 feet. Surrey County Board of Adjustment did deny that variance request on October 19th of 1983. However, just a few days later, they submitted another variance request, decreasing the encroachment on the rear setback. This time asking for a variance that would put the rear setback at approximately 24 feet, and the Board of Adjustment did grant that variance request in December of 1983. There was a zoning permit issued for the current canopy that is in place on the property for the gas station. That was issued in 1994. However, the site plan that was submitted with that did not list or show any setbacks. Surrey County Board of Supervisors did approve another rezoning of approximately a 4.6-acre area from A1 to C commercial in June of 1998. That rezoning actually included that initial 2.75-acre area that was zoned commercial and did increase it to add more land. And again, I'll have a graphic here that'll kind of show the boundaries of that. The current property is actually currently in two parcels. That 1.55 acres is currently in two parcels, that first of which in August of 2001, there's a 0.46 acre piece in the northwest corner that was transferred from Ritzo LC to KCD's Marketing Company. And then earlier this year, on February 7th of 2014, the remaining 1.09 acres was transferred from Ritzo to KCD's Marketing Company. Obviously, there's been a variance request submitted to the Board of Adjustment. A few things we want to notice as far as public notification. We did put a notice of development sign on the property on April 21st of this year. Letters were mailed to surrounding property owners on April 23rd, and legal notices were published in the three official papers on April 24th. Getting in to the legal criteria, the first thing that staff did point out was, has reasonable return already been established for the property as it contains a restaurant, an office building, and a convenience store. According to the applicant, the required setback does not allow for a functional layout to be provided for this property, as the drive aisle shown between the curb, the canopy, and the building allows for safe vehicle and pedestrian movements on site. Staff did note that the subject property is approximately 146 feet deep, and according to the applicant, the subject property is exceptional compared to other properties subject to a 20-foot rear yard setback, primarily by reason of shallowness and narrowness. Current zoning requires a 50-foot front setback and a 20-foot rear yard setback, which, if strictly applied, would leave available area of about 76 feet in depth. So narrow a building area would not accommodate a building 40 feet in depth plus parking areas and fueling stations and leave sufficient space for efficient routing of traffic through the property. One thing staff did question is if there was alternative layouts that could be possible to help the new convenience store meet setbacks, or if it was possible that an additional 35 feet of ground, could be purchased from the property to the west. That 35 feet would be, again, the 15 feet that they're asking for a variance on the rear plus the 20 that they're asking for on the front. We did note that there is currently about 35 feet of open space between the storage buildings to the west and the west property line of the subject property. Did also want to note that in the commercial zoning district, there is no requirement on a side setback, so those buildings, if it was pushed back to the edge of the building, they would still be in compliance. Subject property is classified as commercial. As we noted before, it is located in an area commonly referred to as the Gilbert Corner, which is at the junction of U.S. Highway 69 and 170th Street, and located approximately 3/4 of a mile east of the city of Gilbert. The Gilbert Corner contains the subject property, as well as a commercial storage facility and a landscaping business at the southwest corner of the intersection. There's an automotive repair business at the northwest corner and a fuel station at the northeast corner. And as we had mentioned, records do indicate that this corner has been a commercial area since at least the 1930s. City of Gilbert's 2003 comprehensive plan does designate this property as commercial on their proposed future land use map. Setbacks are used for safety, privacy, environmental protection, aesthetics, and to reduce obstructions. Last question staff did note in the staff report was, if it is the spirit and intent of the LDR met in regards to setback, or can setbacks be met with alternative layouts, or can an additional 35 feet of ground be purchased from the property to the west? Map up here on the screen shows the current commercial zoning here in the red areas, everything else around there. Is actually zoned agriculture. These properties here outlined in the yellow are residentially classified. You can see these ones are outlined in red. They're commercially classified. Have a lot of lines on here, I know, but if you can see this kind of gray outlined area right here, that was that initial rezoning that was done in 1963. It just included that area right here. And then that other rezoning that came through after that included everything else. So when I said it included most of the property, you can see where that line kind of cut off that bottom portion of the property. But then again, these are the two parcels that are the subject parcels. It includes most of that in that first rezoning.
And that particular rezoning, did that make the property a legal existing non-conforming?
The first one or the second one? The latest one, no. It included commercial, so it brought all this down here mainly. It rezoned probably this back portion right here for this building and this area down here. I'm not sure exactly when those buildings were built. I think it was done after the fact. I'd have to look back on that. I didn't really look into that.
I'm just trying to ascertain the status of these. We didn't have very good construction sketches or anything else like that.
Yep. You're talking with regard to setbacks on the current building?
Right.
Yeah, the gas station itself currently, and if I remember right, when the gas station was built, there was no rear setback requirement. There was an amendment to the ordinance, I think, in 1977 that put in a rear setback requirement. So that created it as a non-conforming use. That was why the first variance was requested in 1983. The cover up front, and that's kind of a unique one. None of the staff that was involved in that is present anymore, but they didn't list any setbacks. So the only thing we can assume is that the staff present at the time did not feel that the canopy needed to meet setbacks. We would disagree with that, as it is a structure. There's obviously reasons for setbacks, and the canopy would have to meet those because there are actually items on there that would need to be set back, just as a normal building would need to be set back. So I think it was probably just a difference of interpretation. But yeah, nonetheless, there was no setback shown, but you can see from the structure on aerial photos that it doesn't meet setbacks currently. So, that being said, there's your alternatives, and I'll just go back to this map. If you have any questions on that, I'll just continue to answer them at this time.
The building's going to be raised?
I believe, yes. The three buildings on site, the office building. Yeah, and I can't zoom in on them here, but I believe I had them here somewhere. Oh, here. How did they list them on here? Yeah, it says remove existing building on the three buildings. They're kind of outlined where they're shown.
Let's deal with the setback to the rear setback. So we're 5 feet away net today?
Today, they're... The existing building, I'm trying to find it here again. No, the existing building is probably set back on the drawing that they have here. I don't have an exact distance on there, but it's more than 5 feet. It's probably about, well, and the variance.
It was denied once, and then they brought it back with a 20-foot setback.
Yeah. Yep. So according to their variance that they requested in 1983, and again, who knows how accurate that was, but it was approximately a 24-foot setback that it put it at. But obviously a much smaller scale size of convenience store that they're proposing than today, too. So.
That helps me to understand the sequence. Other questions for staff? Any comments from any of the neighbors?
We've had a few people call in, that's all the sign, but no. Yep. No concerns.
Who speaks for the applicant this evening?
Good evening, Honorable Chair, members of the board. My name is Wally Pelz with Pelz Engineering Company, 2323 Dixon Street, Des Moines, Iowa, 50316. I represent Casey's General Store. This is you heard the long history of this. This was a franchisee store as it started out. And then in 2001, all franchisee stores were purchased out or bought out and bought back to corporate. Since then, they did acquire additional property to the south, where I would, our current Casey store, I think, sits about 19 feet from our survey. There is a storage shed behind it that sits about 6 feet away. Then the restaurant that we bought to the south of us sits about 4 feet away from the property line. And then there's that diagonal office building that sits on the corner. The purpose of our application is that we have gone through numerous iterations with this layout. We're also trying to please the DOT as we meet your setback requirements and trying to make this functional. One of the issues for us is turning radiuses as we get into the property. On that conceptual plan that was in your packet, you will see that our entrance has been moved further to the south per the DOT request. They have also indicated that they will require us to expand Highway 69 with a turn lane even to get that access, because currently it's in violation. They would not allow the accesses that we have today. We have that wide open strip on E23 going into Gilbert. It's a mess. So this is probably the 20th iteration that we've gone through with corporate to make a feasible, functional, safe plan. Since corporate took over, we've standardized all of our stores. This is our new O2 store. It's 103 feet wide. So if you turn it the other way, I'm asking for a variance one way, and then I have problems getting my trucks in. If I leave it this way, I mean, we typically like to have all of our vehicles facing our stores for security purposes, license plates, drive off. But with this one, they'll enhance it with cameras from the two ends of the canopy so that we can monitor that way. Our preferred new method, if you've been to one of our new stores, is to line them up this direction. So the hardship I see is that, you know, currently there is a restaurant. We're looking to expand. This store is tired. It's old. It doesn't fit our model anymore, and we're trying to make it fit within. We did look at the property behind us. That storage facility, that 35-foot space, is filled with gravel. It's also to the access doors. So I believe they have trucks and trailers coming in, so I don't know how keen they would be to us taking up that 35-foot space. We are currently proposing to be 5 feet away. The existing restaurant was 4 feet away. So we're trying to fit the best fit scenario and asking the Board of Adjustment to see that we do need relief to build our new prototype store. With that, I would answer any questions you might have for our proposal.
And real quick, a point of clarification. I think you're getting the restaurant and the office building mixed up.
Backwards.
Yeah, the office building is the one that's set back 4 feet, and the restaurant was the one that's on the corner.
Okay, got it.
Staff report, the comment that sticks out to me, and I guess I want you to address that. The comment that we have, and it was on our slides too, is staff does question if alternative layouts would be possible to help the new convenience store meet setbacks, or if an additional 35 feet of ground could be purchased from the property to the west that may help the proposed layout meet the setbacks. Is what you're telling us that is not possible? Or it's just not possible because you have to have a certain layout?
Let me try and answer that question. We have a prototypical layout that they like to have. We did look at all possible layouts. If I turn my building from facing...
All possible of Casey's prototypical layout.
Within the boundaries that I have right now, without purchasing additional property, because we have not even considered, we didn't think it was feasible to ask them to move their storage. I mean, they would have to move their storage buildings. Typically, if you're going to have a tractor trailer pull in there, or a trailer, 30-foot trailer pull in, storage unit, 30-foot drive aisle minimum,
property line, and then you give them an easement for driveway.
Well.
It happen.
That is a possibility. However, we are under time constraints, and we felt that it's an encumbered property because it's on a corner. As you heard, if it was a side yard setback, it would be zero, but it's not considered that because it's a double frontage. That therein lies our problem. Therein lies our hardship. So, because our neighbor inside the storage building could build right on our property line, because that would be considered a side yard setback. So that's where we're at. We did go through numerous iterations of trying to get a best fit. We have a whole bunch of different models that we can make lots fit. Our biggest issue is that we're 146 and a half feet deep.
Talk about the west side. Is the west side property, excuse me, the east side, is the west side property line being moved at all because of the alterations done on 69?
No.
That's staying fixed.
The right-of-way remains.
You haven't done any encroachment that was undue to, you know, that was due to the DOT.
No.
Property has stayed dimensionally the same.
Okay.
Yeah. I assume that you hung around this evening for some reason. Would you? Oh, you're the neighbors. If you have anything that you would like to say to the board? Okay, then come to the podium.
We have basically three.
Name, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Marielle Moses. This is my property here. Part of it was erroneously included in the orange. That was just an easement we gave them. We didn't give them the land, but... Okay, we are the homestead right here, including
your kitty corner.
Up to that line. What's that?
Your kitty corner, your northeast.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Oh.
We have basically three areas we'd like you to consider in not granting this variance. They deal with compatibility, they deal with traffic, and they deal with what you would call environmental protection in the area of noise and light pollution, and we've basically going to consider the precedent that we've seen with expansions of Casey's over the past couple of years. First of all, as you pointed out, the front variance takes it down to half of what was required, or I guess you've amended that from 20 to 30, but that seems like a significant difference in the rear setback, taking it down to a quarter of what's actually required. Our point is an expansion of that size, we're thinking, is going to lead to other types of expansions, and I'll get to that. Number one, first of all, our issue would be safety. We're concerned with the egress onto 69, as he had mentioned. If you're having an expanded business, we're expecting more traffic. We're expecting probably expanded hours. That has been the mode. If you look at the precedents that's been set with the new, I forget the term he called it, with the new Casey's with the expanded hours. Second of all, a security issue, and that's got to do with increased traffic in the area. This is a residential area. It's zoned agriculture. This is a house here. This is a house here. Several other houses to the other side. I mean, basically, we're just wanting to coexist, but we're not wanting an increase in traffic. The restaurants and the business that have been there before have had very limited hours, and our concern is that with an expanded size of Casey's, there will be expanded hours, and we'll have more light pollution, lights on later on in the evening, flowing onto all of our properties. And if you care to drive out to that area, you can see how far the lights do cast onto our property. The third area, just a compatibility issue. As I said, this is a current, very small convenience store, and with very limited hours, which, as I mentioned before, I think the light pollution and the noise pollution with an expanded store and expanded hours is going to be an environmental concern to us.
Anything you'd like to say in closing?
Wally Phelps, we love to be good neighbors. Our new prototype store does have LED lighting with 90-degree cutoff, which means that we do not have light pollution that bleeds out. It's all directed downwards. We can provide staff with documentation of that, with foot candle maps, and everything of the such. The second portion of increased traffic, we just completed a large traffic study for this area, working with the DOT. That's what would require that extension of a turn lane into the property. It's currently deemed unsafe because of the wide opening. They're also asking us to move that entrance further to the south to spread us out, to give sight distance issues. So I'm believing we're improving the property condition. That's what the DOT believes. They're in favor of it as long as we add a turn lane to the south, which is a significant expenditure. The other item is the increase in traffic. Because we just did a study, this road has actually seen negative growth in the order of 1 to 3% per year, that 69 is decreasing in traffic. Those are numbers supplied to me by the DOT and verified by our study as well. So we try to be good neighbors. We block light. We want you to come to our store. The increase in traffic right now, what we find is this is underserved. The parking lot at moments is overfilled. There's not enough space, especially when a tractor trailer truck pulls in onto the site. It has no place to go. We're trying to alleviate all those problems. That would be my short statement.
Possible for you to build a building there that meets our setback requirement? Yes or no?
No.
Not because you've got only certain prototypes that you must build.
Correct. I can explain. We have a 103-foot wide store. If I turn it the other direction, which we looked at, I'm violating your setbacks. If I turn it up the other direction, there is a industry standard spacing between building, parking, and canopy that provides safe movement between there for traffic, so you have enough room to back out without hitting the people at the pumps. That, I don't have enough space. In what if we build a?
You say 103-foot store. What if you build a smaller store? Can you build a smaller store that fits within our setback requirements?
Even our reduced store, the new ones that we're building, our prototypes do not fit in within that 76-foot. The addition is that these are the new stores that have the sub shop. I mean, we're replacing a restaurant. So the thinking was it has an expanded kitchen area to service better. It has the sub shop in it as well. If you've been into one of the newer stores, that's what it is.
Your answer to my question really is you don't want to build a store that would fit into the setback requirements. I mean, it's really just a desire in terms of your application of the type of store that you want to build. And you have to have certain minimums because of that type of store you want to build.
Correct. We have certain minimums for certain type stores. We do have a reduced store for smaller communities, but it still would not fit in this parameter. And our basis on traffic of what's coming, what's being generated at this store, is that this needs the bigger facility to handle that traffic. So we don't build site-specific to anyone. It's basically, it's just like a McDonald's. So a McDonald's comes in. McDonald's doesn't take the drive-thru out because it doesn't fit the site. They just won't build the site. Does that make sense? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we will now close the VAR 03-14 for purposes of deliberation. First, we have the findings of fact that are in there. There are 19 items in there. Okay. We've got a motion from Fehlmeyer and a second from McGill to adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Fehlmeyer?
Okay, we're at a variance now, so the criteria is different than it was for the CUPs as we go. Basically, in order to grant a variance, we have got to find that there is an unnecessary hardship, either that the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for a purpose allowed in that zone, that the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not to general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself. We have to determine that granting the variance will not be contrary to public interest and that the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan and the Story County Land Development Regulations are protected. We've got a fairly strong history in this area, and that it gives me what appears to me that about the only thing that's consistent with our past practices would be to allow the existing structure to be extended to the south, but not increasing the nonconformance of that. I mean, we've done that before with houses and things like that. That's what would be consistent with what we previously had, but in this case, the applicant has indicated that they have standards by their choice and that they could not build a structure in this location. Mm-hmm. So what is people's thoughts on that? Do we really believe that there is
a hardship that is being created due to unique circumstances?
I think the hardship's be created by them. They won't adjust the store. I understand what they're trying to do, but the property is what it is, mm-hmm. and the setbacks that they have presently.
And I have to, I got to concur with staff in that I'm still not sure you couldn't buy 35 feet of land to the west and then grant them an easement on your land in order to drive vehicles over.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
That's a legal solution to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't move the building any. Mm-hmm. It's still in the same location relative to
the other structures. You set that.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And he does have a point. There, according to the regulation, building to the west, they only have to have a 5-foot setback on them because it's a side setback.
Correct. That's something we can't move. We've had that front side conversation before.
Well, I understand.
Have been made to acquire additional land, or maybe even related to reasonable return of the property in light of circumstances, those particular circumstances. But at least on the application as it is, and what we've heard tonight, I'm not so sure that we can make that finding.
Lynn, do you have thoughts to share?
No. Okay. I really appreciate the candor of Mr. Pelz from the engineering firm. I mean, that you answered our questions very candidly. There's just no doubt about it.
I tend to agree that for us to try to waive any of these items would be, I'd have to put it in terms of arbitrary. I can't come up with a rationale that is strong enough. We don't have extenuating circumstances that I can see. Like I said, we can give the applicant, the idea that, if you wanted to do a custom store and you wanted to extend it further to the south and not increase the encroachment, that probably would be seen as being acceptable, but that's not what they're asking us for.
Not in this request, no. So, based off of what I'm...
Yes, Leanne.
Yes, ma'am.
I have an official request from the applicant that you consider tabling this item.
I could have a motion to table this so that the applicant can work with the staff to resolve the issues. I believe we've brought the criteria up and what our concerns are, and that they bring it back to board in June.
I will move the table.
Okay, we've got a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett to table VAR 03-14, allowing time for staff to work out any issues that might occur, sort of shape with this case, and to bring it back to the board in June. Roll, please.
Fjellmeyer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Any other business for the board this evening?
I know we don't have anything.
Okay. I'm not even going to ask whether we're going to have a meeting next month because we just filled our agenda.
We just filled the agenda.
So, with that, we will. Any comments from staff? From the board? If not, then we will stand adjourned.